stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome back to Administrative Static, and here in Washington, there was a hearing in Congress rather than the courts yesterday, reigning in the administrative state, agency adjudication, and other agency action, chaired by Congressman Massey of Kentucky, and also having as a member Harriet Hageman, Congresswoman Hageman for Wyoming, a former attorney here. And appearing before the committee was Mark Chenoweth. And so, Mark, first of all, also our friend Robert Ault was before them, right?
He was, and Jennifer Mascott of the Boyd and Gray Center for the Study of the Administrative State.
Oh, wow. So, old home week. So tell us what happened.
Yeah, so the hearing was ostensibly about administrative adjudication, and there were quite a few questions around that. I had submitted written testimony, detailing 25 different pathologies of administrative adjudication and in varying levels of detail explained to the committee all the problems that happen when someone is trapped in one of these administrative proceedings rather than being in front of a real Article III judge in a real Article III court. And so, you know, for the most part, the questions coming from the Republicans on the subcommittee were about administrative adjudication. I did get a question about the SEC's gag rule and had a good opportunity to explain the problem with that and how it's unique and how it was improperly promulgated and so forth. Got all that in the record. There was also a question about the FTC and some of the antics that the FTC has been up to. One of the concerns expressed was that when DOJ wants to stop a merger, it has to go to a real federal district court. And when the FTC wants to stop a merger, it can do so by going into its own internal courts. And so there was a question along the lines of, is this a problem that FTC has this? And I, of course, agreed readily with the congressman who was asking that question. And then near the end of the hearing, Chairman Massey came back to that FTC question and said, what about what's happening to Elon Musk? And it's not just the FTC. And he actually read from Brendan Carr's dissent at the FCC, where he talked about Starlink and the revocation of the Starlink contract.
So just from our last segment, the government had the gall to say in its briefs that nothing happened to Elon Musk when he stopped censoring Twitter at their behest. And there were all these things. And I just saw the other day that when they rolled out the new EVs, they had EVs from every car company except the number one EV seller in America. Guess who that is?
Yep.
It's obviously Tesla.
But
they don't.
Musk's company.
So the administrative state doesn't like him, and so they didn't put his car on the dais when they rolled out the EV thing. So don't tell me they're not like doing bad things and trying to do good things if you don't follow their path.
Absolutely. And so Chairman Massey asked about that. There seemed to be some interest. I want to give some credit here to one of the Democrats on the subcommittee, Glenn Ivey, who actually was the chairman of the last or the ranking member of the last subcommittee I appeared in front of. So I've gotten to know Mr. Ivey a little bit. But he started his questions by saying that he had come into the hearing with one sort of perspective on what was going on, but that after listening, he had a somewhat different perspective. And he wasn't that sure that he disagreed with what those of us on the anti-adjudication side were saying. He said, you're talking about the need to provide exculpatory evidence. I can agree with that. You're talking about the need for some transparency around rules and regulations. I can agree with that. He went through several of the things and said, if you would come back to me after the hearing with a reasonable set of proposals to fix this, then we'd be happy and be happy to do that, and so I think that there will be an effort to satisfy Congressman Ivey's request for that. He's a congressman from Maryland. the questions from the Republicans were more along the lines of how can we get these things out of the administrative hearings? And there were a couple of different ideas. And John, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. One of the ideas was, well, what about being able to remove a case from the ALJ to federal court? Well, how would that, let me just tell you what the three proposals were. So that would be one proposal. The second proposal would be, well, what if you only went in front of the ALJ if both sides agreed, kind of like with a federal magistrate judge, you know, because Nadler, who's the ranking member of the entire Judiciary Committee, was saying, you know, you're taking away the ALJ rights and ALJs are so much faster and more efficient and people need to be able to go there and you're trying to do away with them. And I just wanted to say to him, look, if somebody wants to opt into an ALJ, they are more than, I don't want to take that away from them. Go ahead, be my guest. You're not going to like it, but, you know, go ahead, be my guest. And then the third option would be some sort of just saying, look, if you're dealing with particular kinds of rights or remedies, you just can't be in front of the ALJ. You have to take, you agency have to take that case to the federal district court.
I'm going to put aside the third one because I think for private rights, I think that's, there may be a constitutional thing.
Yeah.
But I think that one and two just merge. If you have a right, the agency has a right to always bring it in its own courts.
Well, right now they do.
Right.
A statutory right.
Right, exactly. So if you're allowed to remove, if you don't remove, you've agreed. So I think it's kind of the same. But I think that would be good. So each side, they couldn't just pick their, you know, the FTC has had one ALJ for as long as I've been doing this.
Well, that
and they just added another one. And the ALJ they have sometimes doesn't agree with the FTC. And every time he doesn't agree with the FTC, the commissioners overturn him. So only if he rules against you is he ever upheld. And every time he overturns you, he is overturned by the FTC. He's often vindicated. Some of those he's vindicated up in the appellate level years later. But I wonder if they've picked a guy who's a little more malleable.
Oh, they definitely have picked a guy. He came from the Open Source Institute or whatever the place is that Chairman Khan had been before, the Soros-funded entity.
So you and Lena Khan was at our at the Chevron hearing, actually. So at Relentless, yeah. So I do think that being
she's a woman about town this week.
But in order,
as am I apparently.
No, she was in Relentless, not here.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I do think the ability to remove so that you could get out of that process would go a long way. But I have a question. Republicans often don't like juries. Was there any pushback on juries coming in?
There wasn't any pushback. The theme of my comments was. Because like I say, it was a 10,000 word written testimony, but you only get 5 minutes
right.
for your opening statement. So I really focused on two things. One, I said that Congress can't locate the judicial power outside of Article 3. And I explained that Congress only has legislative power. It doesn't have judicial power. It can't delegate what it doesn't have. I'm just kind of looking around the room when I was saying that there were several kind of head tilts and kind of people kind of taking that in and that had never occurred to them before, which was exactly why I wanted to say it, to kind of get that thought out there. But the other thing I said was, look, this violates Fifth Amendment rights, Sixth Amendment rights, and Seventh Amendment rights, and went through each of those. And for the Sixth Amendment, I talked about the witness intimidation that Ray Lucia experienced. And for the Seventh Amendment, I talked about the fact that you don't have this right to a jury trial in the administrative hearing and how important that is. And, you know, in theory, I suppose you could resolve that by having a jury within the administrative process. But no one's ever proposed that because I think that would be quite involved. The pushback that came against that was more from the Democrats on the subcommittee who said, well, that would be so expensive and we'd have to replace these 2000 some ALJs. And we kept trying to say, that's not the number. You're including all the Social Security ALJs there. Those are not adversarial proceedings.
No.
You can't include those. That's not part of it. You know, and so Glenn Ivey, when it was his turn, said, well, what is the number? Like you guys keep saying it's like 100 and they keep saying it's 2000. Like, just like, what's the number? And he said, can you bring that back to me? You know, after the hearing, and we said, sure. You know, that's a knowable number. But I had also said at one point after Nadler had made this sort of point, I took advantage of a different question that was asked me to say, can I just respond to that last point and say, I know exactly how many people it would take to replace the ALJ at the FTC, one or now two.
Yeah.
You know, I know exactly how many it would take to replace them at the SEC, four, maybe five tops, problem solved. So the idea that, you know, that there were, it's going to require this many.
The problem.
Hyperbole.
The problem as for number has always been Social Security, right?
But we've never asked for that.
No.
Because it's not the same thing. It's a government benefit. It's not a right. And so it has a different calculus around.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it's the sticking point. It conceptually, it drives them nuts because they do not. No congressman wants to be the guy who screwed up the Social Security system, right? That is
right. But we're not asking for any changes to the Social Security system. So
what else? So what else? I just watched a little of it. It seemed, as you said, some people tilt their heads, and you've talked about Ivy. I thought you had a back and forth with one of the Georgia congressmen where he said, yeah, you're right. It is de novo on the law, but they found the facts. And he didn't, it wasn't as hostile as I expected. I have to say, I mean, you get the questions that you always get in town, but what'd you think?
Yeah, well, I thought Congressman Johnson was the most hostile of the questioners, right, at least that I got. But yeah, no, he agreed that he was trying to make the point that ALJs and a couple other people tried to make this point that, well, eventually you get review from the real court. And they, you know, to his credit, he gave me a chance to say, not really, because yes, you get de novo review on the law, but you don't get de novo review on the facts. The factual record is fixed. The factual record is compiled by the agency. And that the review you get is really limited by the time you get to a real district court. And I said, 98% of the people at the SEC settle and they never get review, you know, by a court. And so I thought that was an important point to make. He also allowed me to make the point that, you know, because he was trying to say, you're just standing up for the big corporations, aren't you? And I said, Michelle Cochran is a single mom accountant that the SEC was going after in Texas and trying to make her go through this unlawful administrative proceeding because somebody else had brought up the Axon case. And I said, that was our case, you know, and the reason it was so important is because now you don't have to go through the process. And then another congresswoman.
You mean Cochran was our case.
Cochran was our case.
Attached to Axon.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, I thought the hearing went well, and I think we'll have some follow-ups for the committee to answer some of the lingering questions.
Thank you, Mark.